continued interest in your prayers, as we always do, that we might be blessed together. I'm still in Ephesians chapter 6. I know we have covered this from time to time, but not that it bothers me, but I just wonder why the Lord has put this back on our heart and to consider it at such length. But we're going to trust the fact he knows better than we do what we need. So let me ask you, is there still a spiritual warfare that we face each day? Is it getting any better? Well, I think we've established then there's a need for this. And the lesson of it is to put it on. So no matter how much we know about it, if we don't put it on, and by the way, we put it on by putting it in, right? We put on these things, the spiritual armor, we put it on by putting it in our mind and keeping focused upon the help that we have from the Lord. All right, so we've been talking about his truth, having your loins gird. Notice as we go through these, how the thought of putting it on keeps coming into the lesson. Having your loins gird about with truth. That means putting it on, right? Okay, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. All right, he's telling you, put that on too. And then we come to verse 15, where he says, and your feet shod. Well, to shod means to put it on, right? Okay, and your feet shod with not just the gospel, but the preparation of the gospel of peace. A big part of this, it is the gospel, but a big part of this is preparing ourselves. That's how we shod this. That's how we put it on, in that preparation. All right? So when we think about having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, how effective are we as soldiers of the cross of Christ? We rejoice in what he has done for us, don't we? Every day we can rejoice in what Christ has done for us and the victory that is ours through his finished work. Now, God has given that to us by his grace for us to enjoy until he comes again. But how effective are we as a soldier of his? Putting on this armor, facing the battle, and doing what we can in service to him. Fighting the good fight of faith. Okay? Not so well. I mean, we don't do quite as good as he did for us, do we? That's an understatement. We don't even come close. But we should be found trying, shouldn't we? And that's why we study the scriptures. That's why we try to grasp what's being taught to us so that we can be better equipped and more skillful in the word of righteousness. Okay? So we're to gird on the truth. We need the truth of God, don't we? That's the only way we can stand is with God's truth. And we need that righteousness. He's given us that perfect righteousness of Christ. That is our security. That is our salvation. But we also need to take that and live our lives according to the righteousness of God and walk in right ways. That's a blessing to us and a blessing to those around us. Okay? So we've got the truth girt about our loins. We've got the breastplate of righteousness protecting our heart and our very breath that we breathe. And then he says, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Imagine a soldier in battle. Imagine him with bare feet and Bermuda shorts. Just doesn't fit, does it? You wouldn't go to battle barefoot and nothing to protect you. I mean, just think about, you know, I'm talking about the kind of battle now where there's hand-to-hand combat, where there's swords or shields, and they're swinging those swords, and you need some protection for those legs, don't you? I mean, if you don't have any, then isn't the enemy going to go where you're the most vulnerable? Aren't they going to take the easiest shot that they can to make the most impact? So if you have some vulnerabilities, we have lots of them, don't we? That's why we need armor to cover us up. That's why we need what Christ has done for us, because we're so weak and vulnerable. But just imagine a soldier in battle without those his feet shod, and there's it seems like that involves not only the feet but also the shins. What is it called? Greaves, those metal coverings for the shins, you know, to protect the lower part of the leg. All right, we've got protection. We're to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, this whole armor, all of it, every piece of it, and all of it together, because the idea is for it to be used all together. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all, to stand. The purpose then is that we might be able to stand, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. Okay? We need this preparation of the gospel of peace, this whole armor. It helps with protection. It helps us to make a stronger stand. It helps us in readiness. And that's a lot of what we want to see in this having our feet shod with the preparation, this readiness of the gospel of peace. If a soldier's not ready for battle, it could be a lot of reasons, but the end result is that he won't be as effective as he could be. And if we're not prepared for this battle, we could find ourselves being caught off guard. We could find ourselves being weak and unprepared. We could find ourselves, if we didn't have this preparation of the gospel of peace, then there could be something come along and just clip our legs right out from under us, and we wouldn't be able to stand. I've shared with you probably several times an experience I had while I was in college and working part-time in a hardware store, and this man came in there. He heard that I was Primitive Baptist, and he was going to set me straight because he was convinced that all Primitive Baptists was going to hell. And the things he was telling me, I knew he was wrong. But I couldn't defend myself with book, chapter, and verse. I could tell him the principles. I could tell him what I understood, but I didn't know where it was. I didn't know all of what the Bible said about those things. It was like this man just knocked my legs right out from under me. I didn't have a leg to stand on in trying to defend myself biblically with this man who was saying all these things that I knew wasn't right. It's important for us to be able to be ready for battle. Put it on. Be ready. The preparation. There's a lot of preparation soldiers make, aren't there? Whether you've been in the military or not, you know they go through a lot of training. A lot of what they think is nonsensical training, over and over and over and over. But it's all because of preparation. It's all because of obeying orders. I mean, it's just a lot of things built into it, but the preparation is over and over and over. And if the scriptures make this comparison between a soldier and what we ought to be as a disciple, don't you think there should be some preparation?
Absolutely.
Daily? Over and over? You know, I frequently encourage you to read your Bible. I wonder if sometimes somebody said, well, I did that once. I don't need to do that again. I did that. No, we need it every day. We need to be feeding our soul, because the soul is what will benefit from this spiritual armor as much as the body. So we need this protection. We need this mindset. We need this knowledge. We need this these exercises in righteousness so that we know the Word of God and we know how to handle it. Okay? Now I realize that we're not all called to the ministry, but what a blessing it is to be able to sit down with just anyone and talk Scripture. What a blessing. It's good for us all to know something about what we believe and be able to defend it. You know, Peter, 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer for the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and trembling. Meekness and fear? Fear. There's another one that says trembling. We need to have an understanding of some of these things so that we can stand, so that we can have our feet firmly established in the gospel. There is a gospel of peace, but we need the preparation if we're going to prepare ourselves to put this on, to put it in our mind and in our heart. Then we need that so that we can stand and be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the truth of God is going to stand, isn't it? Whether we defend it or not, God's truth will remain. The righteousness of God, it's going to remain. What Christ has done for us is done forever. We can say amen and rejoice in that, can't we? Whether we live according to it or not. But here, in having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, he tells us how that how we can put some feet to the gospel, if you will. God, it has pleased God to call men to preach his word. And God's people who are blessed to hear it and receive it and understand it and rejoice in it, then we ought to be able to speak about it and share it with others. I realize that it varies from person to person, but nevertheless, we should all be established in the truth so that we can stand for what we believe. You know, I'm sure you've heard the little, I know I've heard Elder Ronald Lawrence say it several times about believing. You know, somebody might ask you, well, what do you believe? It's not enough to be able to say, well, I believe what my church believes. Because they're going to say, well, then what does your church believe? Well, they believe what I believe. You know, you can run in circles for a little while. But how much of a faithful witness of Jesus Christ is that? And if nobody else in the church knew any more than you did, then that wouldn't say a whole lot, would it? All right? So we... When for the time, let's see, what did Brother Winslet preach? When for the time that ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, become as such as need milk and not strong meat. We talked about some babies that were born this week and how precious that is. We love babies, don't we? It's precious babies, but we want them to grow. They can't stay babies always. They don't stay babies long, do they? Not long enough for us. We'd like to coddle them and baby them a long time. But we want them to grow. We want them to mature. We want them to be able to stand on their own two feet someday, don't we? Don't you know our Father in heaven wants the same for us? Oh, he's given us eternal life. He's given us perfect righteousness of Christ. He's given us a home in heaven. But we're not there yet. We live our lives every day. We have opportunities every day to say, thank you, Lord, I love you. And we can say I love you by what we do. I'm afraid so much of what we do says I love me. Instead of spending time in doing things that please the Lord. Now, it may be you know, something you enjoy, but if you think first of the Lord and what He would have for us to do and follow His word as we go about doing it, you'll find a lot of blessings in life. But may our walk and our footsteps each day say, Lord, I love you. Okay? It's good to say the words, but it's better to walk the walk. All right. Feet shod with the preparation, the gospel of peace. You know, we talked about how that what God does for us, and then how that we're to respond to Him. You know, grace is that those two definitions of grace. One is that it's unmerited favor bestowed upon undeserving individuals. Strong's Concordance says it's divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. I like that one too, don't you? That's our opportunity to show others we love God, to show our love for God by what we do. Okay? But when we think about this armor, how that Christ in His perfect righteousness and all of His perfections wore this perfectly and won the battle for us, and now He gives us His armor that He wore first. And we should wear it proudly. And we should learn how to use it. And I can use proudly in that context, you know. We have to be careful about pride and being proud and all that. But we can be proud of our Lord all day long and all night long. We can be proud that He had mercy upon us and came to where we were and saved us from our sins. We can rejoice in that. But we see the perfections of Christ. And then as He calls upon us to be faithful soldiers, what we also see is here is the greatest opportunity for stumbling in how we respond to Him. Here's the greatest opportunity for us to come short. He's not going to do it for us, is He? We're not robots. He's given us eternal life. He's given us grace. He's given us faith. He's given us blessings upon blessings upon blessings. But He's not going to force us. He's not going to make us do these things. That would be law, wouldn't it? We're not under law. We're under grace. And we need to show our love for Him by doing these things. But here's the greatest opportunity for stumbling. And so because of that, we need to read His word. We need to pray for help each day. We need to be thinking about the goodness and mercy of God and thanking Him for His blessings and keep our mind in that spiritual context. That will help us in following Him and help us to have a better footing in the gospel to keep us from falling. You know, I think so oftentimes, you know, the Bible calls David, both in the Old and New Testament, says David is a man after God's own heart. What a blessing. So we read about the life of David, how many times David was faithful. But we also know that there were times when he slipped. It was times when he made his mistakes. When he got his mind off the Lord and started following the flesh. We're that close to slipping. We need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace so that we can remember His goodness, remember His mercy, and try to live in thanksgiving and gratitude for what He's already done for us. And so we're to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is this? Spend a few minutes here on the gospel of peace. We could call it the gospel, but Paul was led to call it the gospel of peace. Do you know when Jesus was born into the world, the heavenly host proclaimed, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In other words, this event ushered in something that would bring peace that hadn't been before. And when we understand the gospel, when we understand the truth of God, when we understand what the Bible teaches us about our situation, we find that yes, there was a need for this peace because man had sinned and come short of the glory of God. What do we mean by coming short of the glory of God? Couldn't we say we come short of His righteousness? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even the little babies, when they're born into this world, they come into this world as sinners. Now, some folk don't like that doctrine. But because of Adam and because of the fall of man, because of what we sometimes refer to as original sin, Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In other words, everyone that's ever been born of Adam is affected by this. We're born in sin. Sinners by nature, even before we're sinners by practice. All right? That's just the old, we call it the Adamic nature. Okay? There was a need for peace because man sinned. Death came into the world. Because of sin, death came into the world. We're separated. Death is a separation. We're separated from God. We cannot reconcile ourselves to God. We cannot bring that peace back to God ourselves, can we? Because of the fall and because of the depraved nature of man, there's no desire to have peace with God. There's no love for God. There's no interest in the things of God. So not only are we not capable, we're not even willing. We have no desire to reconcile ourselves to God. To be able to stand. I don't know what go through a lot of these, but you know, there's a large number of people in the Christian world today that holds to the idea that there's a little bit of good in everybody. And if you just fan that flame enough, then it'll burst forth and they'll be spiritual. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. But if you don't understand that, somebody coming along saying these things, why, they could just knock your legs right out from under you. If you don't understand this, if you can't defend it, fact is, we've all sinned. We're all sinners in need of the one that God purposed to send into this world to save us from our sins. That's what was said of Christ before He was born. That's what was promised 2,000 years before Christ was born. When God was making promises to Abraham about his seed, 2,000 years into the future, God was saying this was going to happen. Bless your hearts. We need to understand this word. We need to understand these promises. We need to understand our standing in God and our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. So man sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the righteousness of God. But God had purposed. See, Christ was not an afterthought, was He? Christ is not plan B because man messed up what God did the first time. God had purposed. God knew that man was going to sin. And He'd already purposed that He would send His Son to save us. And so, what was said of Jesus just before He was born? Thou shalt call His name Jesus. Why did it need to be Jesus? Because Jesus means Savior. In Isaiah 7:14, when He spoke of Emmanuel, the word Emmanuel means God with us. So this Jesus, who is Savior, is also God. We understand that. We rejoice in that, don't we? That's part of the gospel, that God sent His Son God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth, not will believe, but whosoever believeth. Those that are able to believe it. Oh, bless your hearts. That's the gospel. That's a declaration, by the way, of what Christ did for us, what God did for us through his Son. It's not an offer of salvation. All right? This gospel of peace. The angels proclaim, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God sent his Son to this earth to save his people from their sins. Isn't that what the angel told Joseph? So call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Now wait a minute. The vast majority of Christianity will say God loves everybody and that he wants to save everybody if you'll just let him. You know, variations of that. Is that what the Bible really teaches? He had a people. Now he saves everybody that wants to be saved, because it's only the presence of the Spirit within them that gives them that desire, gives them that desire to come to God. Okay? But God sent his Son to save his people from their sins. Remember Romans chapter 8. While the world will tell you that God loves everybody, wants everybody to be saved, yet they'll also tell you that hell's going to be populated. So if they're consistent in what they believe, then there's people going to be in hell that God loves. Never have understood that. Okay? Now just follow this through here. The angel told Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And what he's going to say after this is going to define the all things of God's purpose. Now, God's merciful and gracious to us, and when bad things happen in our lives, he's there to hold us up, he's there to strengthen us, and if we lean and depend upon him, then we can get through those things, and we could see better days. But I am not going to tell somebody that something bad happened so something good could come out of it. What the all things are here are what's according to his purpose that he's going to define for us in the next couple of verses. All right, so it's to them who are the called according to his purpose. The called are those in whom he sends the Spirit into their hearts. The called will be those that Ephesians 1 and 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. All right, they'll be the called when the Spirit calls them. All right, verse 29, for whom? And I want you to notice that, like we've said many times, the personal pronouns that follow this passage, identifying that we're talking about the same people, the same ones who are called, are the same ones that all these other things apply to, that we can rejoice in, that God knows what he's doing. That 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Not can be, might be, they are his. He already chose them before the foundation of the world. He sent his Son to save them. All right? What will they receive by what he did? For whom, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Bless your hearts, we are safe and secure in the finished work of Christ. That is the gospel. That is what God has done for us. That is our eternal security. And if you keep reading in Romans 8, right down to the end of the chapter, it says that nothing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I rejoice that that verse is there. I rejoice in that. That we're eternally kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, Peter said, over in 1 Peter chapter 1. I rejoice that that security is there. And I want to live my life honoring Him that did that for me. I didn't deserve any of it. But He so graciously and so mercifully and so abundantly has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. As we think about this gospel of peace, it's a gospel that has brought peace. It didn't make a way to have peace. It didn't give the possibility of peace. It brought peace when Jesus died for our sins. He established that peace between Himself and His children. What is it? 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. He sent Christ to make that peace, and He did it. Now we need to walk in that peace every day so that we can enjoy that peace with our Savior and with our God. All right, so man was separated from God. God has sent His Son to this world to save us from our sins. Bless your hearts. We have eternal salvation. We have the help that we need every day that we live. Now, do you believe that?
Absolutely.
That we have the help that we need for whatever we face each day. This battle may get hot. This battle may rage in our own bosom, in our family, in our home, wherever we might be. This battle may be raging, but He can provide, because He's already provided it for us. What we need to be is acquainted with it and rejoicing in it and have the assurance of it each day. It will help us face the battle and honor Him while we do it. And I'm going to tell you, you talk about a witness. When you're going through the fire and your soul is still at peace with God, and you still, though you may have trouble and trials and heartaches and terrible things going on in your life, if you've got the rock that you can hold on to, and they see, somebody that sees you on a daily basis can see and know that you're going through trouble, and yet there's a peace in your soul. That's the kind of witness we need in this world. That's what others need to see. Because it honors God, it gives Him all the glory for the strength and the power, and it draws people to ask a reason for the hope that's in you. Why would you trust God when you've got such problems? Didn't Job hear something like that? When Job was going through all the struggles that he had, didn't his wife say, "Why don't you curse God and die?" In effect, she's saying, why do you keep trusting God? Because that's the only thing Job had left. And it was enough. It was enough to bring him through the trials that he was facing. And in the end, he was blessed with twice as much as he had to begin with. Is there any reason to trust God? All right. So this gospel of peace We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't wait for us to do something about it. He sent His Son to accomplish it for us. We have this gospel of peace. If we've been born of the Spirit and blessed to understand His Word and what He's done for us, then we've got this gospel of peace that we can hold on to. And it would behoove us to learn more about it. It would behoove us to read His Word and ask His Spirit to guide us to understanding, that we might find more joy and more blessings and more peace while we make our way and face the battle that's ours to face every day. He's prepared us. He's given us all that we need. So how do we put it on? How do we shod our feet with the preparation of a gospel of peace? Well, I've been kind of touching on it all the way through, but we need to know it, first of all, don't we? And we know it by reading His Word, by asking for understanding. And we know that we have a promise, Hebrews 11:6. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, what's the reward of diligently seeking Him? Finding Him is the reward. Having more understanding. Finding the answers that we've been asking for. You know? Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. You know, ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Are those true statements? Jesus said it. It's got to be true. It's got to be. What we need to do is lay hold on it, don't we? What we need to do is trust the faithfulness of it. You know, Paul said, 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I know we've all wanted to take issue with Paul and claim that we're chief of sinners. Well, we're all in the same class. We're all in the same boat. We're all in the same need of that perfect Savior. We just need to trust Him more, don't we? We just need to be reminded more often of His Word and the promises that we have contained in it. That's the only preparation that will help us to stand every time. It's the best preparation there can be. You know, just like when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Can't have a better shepherd than the Lord. You won't find one. It's not there. He is the best. And whatever the Lord provides for us, you can rest assured, is the best available. But there's so much of it we don't even know about. All right, so we need to know it. We need to love it. Now, preacher, you're asking a lot there. You're asking a lot to give my heart to something. I'm going to tell you something. The more you're reading the Word, the more you're learning about what God has done, is doing, and will do for us, the more willing you'll be to give your heart to it and trust Him. He's loved us far, far more than we will ever love Him. He has done far, far more for us than we'll ever do for Him. And we have far, far more to hope from Him than He ever has from us. The more we read His Word, the more we strengthen the inner man, the greater the appetite will be for spiritual things. You can turn away, you can start feeding the flesh, and you can just feel the things of the Spirit having less and less influence over our decisions. That's why we need these regular meals, if you will. We need our daily bread. We need to feast on the things of God on a regular basis. Not only will it help us, not only will it strengthen our desire for it, but there's no end to what we can learn in the Word of God. It's rich. It's rich. Not only should we know it, not only should we love it, then we should live it, shouldn't we? I mean, this, to me, this is common sense. If it's what we should do, then we need to know it, we need to love it, and we need to live it. And that's where you're going to find the joy. Didn't Jesus say, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. All right? It's an interesting study, if you want to sometime, to go through and find how that Jesus emphasized the doing. Jesus' natural brothers and his family was without the house one time, and they sent word to him that your mother and your brethren are without, desiring to see thee. And he said, "Who is my mother and my brethren?" Well, surely he knew that, right? But like so oftentimes, he asked the question to get us to think, to teach us something. Who is my mother and my brethren? He said his mother and brethren are they that do, that know the will of God and do it. Do we know God's will for us? Do we know that he would have us to learn more and more and more about him? Then you're going to be blessed if you do it. If you put forth the effort. I tell you, it'll help your day. It'll help your week. It's the foundation that your day needs to start off on the right foot. Preparation of the gospel of peace. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. If we're going to be a faithful soldier of the cross, if we're going to be a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to be able to have an understanding of the Word so that we can teach our children and be a good influence in our community and among our peers, then we need this Word. We need to know it, need to love it, and live it. And I'm going to tell you, if the more you know it, the more you'll love it. I could tell you this all day, just like a child when you're telling them something that's good for them and they can't really appreciate how important it is. I can tell you, the more you know it, the more you'll love it. But if you haven't experienced it, you don't really appreciate what I'm saying. But that's what we need in the world today. That's what we need in the church. That's what we need in our families. That's what we need in our communities. And that's been the burden of my heart to pray that if God could have mercy upon this nation, that he would give us leaders that would look to him for the wisdom. We don't have the answers. There's no man on the face of this earth that has the answers to what we need, except that we look to God and ask him and beg him for mercy and for wisdom that we might know what we should do. That's what we need. Those that are willing to fight the spiritual warfare that's that's for every one of God's children. We need that. And we need those that will put that armor on. Keep it in memory. Love it. And live it. Living it to his glory. And it'll be to our blessing. All right, so we need that personally. Time's about gone, but we need it personally for ourselves, don't we? We need it. I mean, how can you help anybody else if you're vulnerable yourself in this battle? So you need the armor yourself. But you also need it to be a help to those around about you. Let's see, what is that? Romans 12, when he's talking about not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Later on in that chapter, down in verse 18, he says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, be at peace with all men. That's hard to do, isn't it? Some folks just make it real hard to be at peace with them. But what he said was, as much as lieth in you. Now, some of us give up too quick. Right? Sometimes we give up too quick. But when we're living our day trying to understand the things of God, trying to face the battle, having the armor on, trying to be able to use it in the way that would be a blessing, he'll strengthen us to be able to stand more and to be able to withstand more in the evil day. So he said, as if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, be at peace with all men. There's some people in this world that I just don't care for at all. But I realize that the scriptures tell me to do as much as I can to be at peace with them. Scriptures tell me to love your enemies. Oh, you had to mention that, didn't you, preacher? Love your enemies. When's the last time you prayed for your enemies? I hope it's on a regular basis. Not that they would be strengthened to do their evil. Okay? But for God's will to be done for them. All right? So you need the armor for yourself. You need the armor so that you can be more agile and more skillful in your dealings with others, so that you can have an effective witness, so that you can be a faithful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's called us, the one who gave us life, the one who gave his life that we might live, the one who blesses us every day, the one who watches over us. You know, because we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, even before we knew him, even before we were born of his spirit, he was still watching over us and providing for us because we were his child. He loved us even before we knew about it. All right? I tell you, we need to grow in our appreciation for what God has done for us and live in thanksgiving and gratitude, having our feet shod with the preparation. It's going to take some effort on your part to prepare. He's given us peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that. We're his child. We can never be separated from his love. But he deals with us today as children. And so, while we will never sever the relationship, then if we start following after the flesh and doing things that are not right, we'll hinder that fellowship, won't we? We'll hinder that peace. And it's only in walking in righteous ways that we can continue to enjoy that peace. So, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us walk in that peace and promote that peace and enjoy that peace while we live in this life, while we wait for him to come again, when he'll put down all enemies. Everything will be subdued unto him. Bless your hearts as we think about what he's given us. Then just another piece of this armor is having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Paul said in Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, you don't have to be a called and ordained minister to speak about the gospel of peace and the glad tidings of good things that God has done for us. If they love God, I would hope that they would enjoy speaking about those glad tidings and those good things which God has done for us. May God help us each day to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. May God bless you, is our prayer.